In the Loop with Chris, Zach, and Alex Lupica.
Hey everyone, thanks for listening to In the Loop. Just want to remind you to rate this show on iTunes and SoundCloud, and be sure to tweet us at In the Loopica. That's with two O's in the place of the U. And before we get started here, we have to tell you about Geico. When shopping for car insurance, consider this. Geico has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to geico.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money. All right, here we go. Time for a podcast. A little bit of a sketchy Thursday recording because of a Chris Lupica business trip. Which little nook of the United States did you head to this week?
Well, I was in Dallas, but not really. I was more like in Irving, stayed out by the airport.
What's Irving like?
I don't know, man. I really don't. I spent most of the time in a Marriott conference room, 19th floor. Big shout out. Then I just kind of turned around and came home.
You ate a pepper, right?
Yeah. Most interesting things about the Dallas trip, just we'll get through this quick. 30 degrees.
Is the pepper not the most interesting thing?
30 degrees down there, which is crazy because I came back 75 here. Great. Secondly, I ate this pepper at dinner, business dinner with a bunch of my colleagues, and I could not speak for like 10 minutes because it was so spicy. It was horrible. That's it.
Is that the full recap?
And you watch Wind River on the flight home.
Watched Wind River on the flight home. And once again, I wanted to visit this topic at some point because we've talked about it before. Very graphic scenes in the movie Wind River. Always really awkward.
Yeah, I told Chris he's going to watch that. The guy next to him is going to learn a little about the human body.
Oh, you watched it on the plane.
It's so awkward to watch really graphic stuff. Like there's some like violent scenes, some sexual assault scenes.
Say a sex scene comes on when you're watching a movie on the plane. Do you like tilt it away? Do you dim the brightness? What's your move?
That movie, there's also a pretty graphic rape scene.
No, I know. That movie is particularly graphic, but like so many movies have a sex scene.
You
got to
dim and turn it towards you. That's what I do.
Dim and tilt.
First of all, I get my movie recommendations from Zach, and he recommended this movie, but he also recommended with the caveat like that it's very graphic. So not only is it awkward usually, but the whole time I'm like wondering when these scenes are going to come on so that I can move the screen.
It becomes obvious pretty rapidly when the bad scene's coming.
Yeah, I mean,
there's only like one bat. It's not like you're watching Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah,
no.
That's not a plane movie. Some movies are just not made
The 10-second skip. The 10-second skip is big in that spot.
Yeah, but you don't want to miss those scenes.
Exactly, then you miss what happens. So yeah, anyway, always a tricky spot on an airplane watching, boobs or, death or whatever.
What's next?
One of the movies of the year, though. I think we can all agree.
Yeah, this is right? Definitely. Also, a good segue into the other movie chop.
The other movie chop of the day. Yeah. You're just telling me, and I can't believe we didn't think of this, because we are prognosticators of the next Bond.
Yes, we are.
We stay all over
or
that.
Or are we?
Or are we? That, yes, this latest development begs the question. So, Cillian Murphy, who you love, Blinders, of every Chris Nolan movie
top
ever
five
made,
actor for me,
who has just stormed onto the scene, is now such a favorite in Vegas to be the next Bond that they have taken him off the board.
What happened was the line went from like 120 to 1 to like 6 to 1, like overnight.
So someone knows something.
But Tom Hardy is still also a big favorite. So it seems like it's going to be either one of them.
I can't believe it hadn't occurred to us.
I know.
After watching Peaky that
he's a Brit.
The focus was on Hiddleston for a time in the wake of The Night Manager, which looked a lot like a tryout for Bond.
Yeah.
He's kind of like the slick intelligence officer. And I bought into that for a while.
You watched that show twice.
I watched that show twice. Idris Elba got a lot of hype early in the conversation.
That'd have been fine.
Will Craig do another?
The next one. It's coming out
so
next
Craig
year.
So Craig will do
one more. Yeah.
And I wonder if they'll announce the next one. What protocol is in that situation?
Once
they'll announce
the
next one before the final Craig movie is released.
They'll probably announce it when they pick it. There's no difference. So it could be Hardy, could be Murphy, based on what I saw today. Both amazing.
Clue, do you have a preference?
I've just started watching Peaky Blinders per Zach's recommendation. So I've watched the first 3.5 seasons. I'm on the final season. So I'm all for, I really like the Cillian Murphy choice. He's phenomenal. But my question is, if he becomes Bond, does that mean I would think that would mean the Peaky Blinders is over. I mean, I think
when you become Bond, everything else has to be shelved.
Well, also Peaky Blinders has already gone 4 seasons. I think they're signed up for a 5th, like 6 seasons. You don't really go past that.
Yeah, 5 seasons. One more season of Peaky Blinders. I mean, Tommy Shelby, just iconic character.
He's one of the coolest characters of all time.
I agree.
Chris, have you been watching with subtitles?
Yes.
Because that changed the whole thing for me. Hardy, you cannot understand.
No, Tom Hardy in that show is like a Cockney Bane.
He might as well be wearing the Bane mask. You can't understand a word. Once I started using subtitles, it was like enlightening. I was like totally lost before.
No, but it's an electric show. I mean, Hardy, every scene he's in is so good. And then now in the new season I'm on, we got Adrian Brody and the character who plays Littlefinger in Game of Thrones.
What do you think about Brody's accent, Chris? Because it's
the New York Italian.
I have heard from people who know that it is not a good Italian.
He's like doing the Godfather doing the accent. Yes. He's not like doing, it's very weird.
It's like an imitation of an accent.
But he's fresh.
In the show Peaky Blinders, they clearly give you a lot of latitude with your language because there's no way they wanted Tom Hardy to speak like that.
No. He just was like, I'm doing it this way.
Well, Hardy doesn't
like, okay.
Hardy doesn't talk in movies.
he does the same voice.
He's in
the British Bane.
Yeah, in 5 movies.
In Dunkirk, he's got the
Bane.
Pilot mask.
Yeah.
All right, Kloop, we are going to be seeing you this weekend.
Very exciting, yeah. My last weekend for, I've been saying, probably like 12 to 13 years without having a puppy or a dog. So, got to come into the city and see you guys and have some fun.
Is that a thing, like a last hurrah before getting a dog?
No,
for Chris,
no.
It is.
I'm just
for
kidding.
Chris, it qualifies.
Well, I do think for the next like couple months, it's going to be important to just be around a lot. So with the dog, so
I think that will be important.
We'll come see you, dude.
You guys are going to come visit me. Zach and I already got tennis teed up for Saturday here in Rye. So
yeah, I might have to send though. So
okay.
We'll
it could go either way there.
As Zach told me yesterday, it's going to be so fun playing with the dog. And then just leaving.
Oh yeah, exactly.
And then you get to go.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And then just get the hell out of there.
You're gonna be great.
Really excited for that. But really,
although
what
we had to cancel our reservation.
I know. We were very excited about this Salt Bay reservation.
We're too poor.
We just can't afford it.
The reality is we just looked at some of the reviews. We looked at some of the prices.
We did. Yeah.
As excited as I was to have him sprinkle salt on my $300 tomahawk steak, I just decided maybe we could go elsewhere, get a pizza.
I was also saying like the reviews are all like so overpriced, like takes too long, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, I don't want the mystique of Salt Bay to be ruined in my head either.
Yeah, because he's a heroic figure.
It's something you
got to
reach
mind.
For, dude. I'm not there yet.
It is. It's tough. I was excited. You know, I was excited, but the prices, I ran the numbers in an Excel model, and I would be homeless in a month.
Yeah, I already am.
Can I say one thing that I found interesting in the reviews?
Mm.
So he apparently goes to a lot of tables, right? He does.
Yes, based on social media of late, it seems like he is pretty active in the dining room.
I mean, it's not hard to just go to every table for like a minute.
Yeah, but Zach, he doesn't talk.
Yeah, that's not part of
the performance. Never seen him speak. Yeah.
No, he doesn't talk.
But that's each trip he's doing something pretty crazy that takes a couple minutes, right, Chris?
Well, yeah, I mean, you have to you have to buy the most expensive shit to get him to come over and salt himself.
I see.
But it's just amazing.
Salt it.
but he comes over to all these different tables and he's interacting with these people. I guess either he doesn't speak English or he just doesn't talk, which adds to the mystique, sort of, in my
opinion. I mean, in his videos,
What do you mean?
In his videos, he's never talking, ever.
I think he just decides to.
Yeah, you get your phone out, you put it on Instagram, he doesn't talk.
You're really paying for the Instagram.
They say,
right,
it's,
Chris?
They say it's performance art steak.
I mean, how many people, what percentage of the people that dine there wouldn't do it if they couldn't put it on social media?
Like, nobody. You're completely right.
0%. You know,
everyone goes, there's a giant mural behind the whole thing of him sprinkling the salt. I mean, you got to give this guy a ton of credit, first of all.
The Salt Bay phenomenon is such a 2017-2018 invention.
You're without social media, you're right. First of all, no one knows who the fuck this guy is. Second of all, like, no
one knows knows anything about him.
No one would.
Other than he salts meat.
Double
and cuts
the price.
It in interesting ways.
He was like a butcher in Turkey like 6 months ago.
And only in America. Yeah. Only in America.
Miami
one
and New York
boys.
City now.
One day, boys.
One day.
One day he'll be salting our steak. It's just not going to be
he'll
tomorrow
be rubbing
night
you down a barbecue sauce. I can't wait.
We still have dinner Friday.
Yeah. We're going somewhere else.
Chris, Olympics coming to a close this weekend as well.
Holy don't care.
When you so your long con bet that was like dates back to the national championship football game.
The Super Bowl.
I think is not going to wind up bearing fruit.
We
is
just don't win gold, apparently.
He all needs 13 golds. We only have like 5.
Yeah, so we got to get hot.
But I told him, listen, you tell the bookie, you say all our girls in hockey got gold medals. I'm looking
send
at 36 golds.
He wants me to send a picture of the full team.
You
in
think
medals
you buy it?
Look at the medals, dude.
I think it's worth a shot.
Not a conversation I particularly would look forward to.
But any other reflections on the Olympics as they wrap
suck
up here?
They suck.
I'm kind of
very, very good job by the U.S. women. That was
and
sweet
by NBC producing.
All right, okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
You're a guy who wants to go behind the scenes a little bit. But I will say two things that stood out. Norway wins an unbelievable amount of these things. Like 30 medals for Norway.
The Norwegians farewell in the snow.
Congrats.
There's no doubt about it.
The Scandinavians just rule this
yes
thing.
Yes, they did.
And then we got a curler who somehow gets nailed for
Chris,
doping.
Talk to me about this guy.
What's
I was
going
just
on
reading about this. What possible explanation could there be for using a steroid of any kind,
dude,
in
you need
curling
your forearms to be jacked. Sweet.
Is that a fat? Like, that yes is as believable a thing as I've thought of.
I was
reading, Chris, that it is the same thing that Sharapova got caught with. I don't know if that means anything.
Oh, that German, that all that, yeah, it's all that stuff, dude. They're all tied in.
I was going to say Adderall would be the only thing I could think of because you want to be locked in out there, like very focused on where the bullseye is, et cetera. But it's apparently not.
Yeah, I can't. I don't know. Doping.
How dumb would you feel?
Doping.
If you're this guy, you have to give back your bronze medal because you were a steroid-using curler.
Yeah, steroid-using curler.
Could be worse, dude. Could be me.
You could be the fourth place guy getting a steroid bust.
Only two cool things I saw. Shaun White and U.S. women's hockey. That last goal the girls scored in the shootout was electric.
And Canada had been on a streak that was similar to like the Russians in 1980,
yeah, they had won,
right?
Like 4 in a row, yeah.
I agree. White was insane. The cross-country skier who won for the U.S. against some Scandinavians, Chris, which was described by some as like growing up in Norway and wanting to win the Super Bowl as a quarterback, winning that event as an American. And the call on the finish.
The guy's freaking out.
He's freaking out. It reminded me immediately of, here comes Olezak!
Yeah,
in
yeah
the
really good call.
In the swimming. You know, some of these announcers, like the guy in the Shaun White run, you only get, just like the athletes, you only get a crack at it every 4 years. So the excitement level is that much more. So there was some really good announcing.
Yeah,
really,
and the audience
calls
doesn't necessarily know what they're watching, right? So it's like so important, especially on Shaun White, for example, like watching that and having the announcers sort of explain to you how he's doing is huge, because otherwise you just know he's way up in the air and you don't really know. You know, it's very hard to evaluate these sports.
Yes, and some do better than others of putting in the layman's terms. Like when they're describing the tricks that Shaun White is doing, that's not English, right? So they kind of have to be like, no, the higher the number, the more the points and stuff like that, which is helpful. Anything else you want to touch on before we get into the meat of the show here, Chris?
Apparently they purged a lot of Twitter bots.
Oh, yeah. How are we doing? Is our account hanging in there?
We're fine, which means...
Okay.
Okay? It means we have a legitimate following, okay? We don't have the Russian bots.
Yeah, we're a bot-free zone. Good point.
So, in other words, if you want us to advertise teeth whitening, whatever, on Twitter, we'll do it because we know we're getting real eyeballs.
That was my takeaway, exactly.
Okay.
But other people are losing followers.
Some people are really losing
pace
followers.
Anyone you know that like specifically lost a bunch?
Well, it was mostly Russian bots, right, Chris?
It was a lot.
So
well,
I think it's a lot of conservative accounts.
Putin lost a ton of followers.
Or lose it. Yeah, Putin got crushed.
Putin's down to 88 followers. Everyone in the Kremlin and nobody else.
All right. So, Zach, baseball rule changes. Are you going to be able to be very clear, concise?
Yeah, there aren't many rule
informative.
Changes. So, yeah.
Are the games going to get faster?
Hopefully. That's the plan.
Kloop, can you talk about the NCAA tournament in an intelligent way?
I can talk about that and the Louisville punishment. I am fired up. I'm mad. I can't talk about it intelligently, so I look forward to it.
Okay, begin with Louisville. Forgot something, as I always do in the intro segment, to tease. Drafting. And I don't know whose idea this was.
It's a
Leo DiCaprio movies.
That's going to be good.
Chris, I think it's a great one. And I was just, it's weird timing. I just showed my roommate last night that classic, I believe it's a New York Mag piece, but I could be mistaken on that, about Leo, the Prince of the City, in which it talks about him and the crew of Tommy.
The Pussy Posse?
Yeah, I wasn't going to say it, but right. The Blaine, Connolly, Tobey Maguire.
The boys.
Crew of boys, man, running around New York City.
He's the only one still standing from that group, by the way. Like, everyone else has settled down. Old Uncle Leo is still carrying the torch.
You know what I've always wondered about that story is Blaine's inclusion. Like, the magician around all the other actors. Was it for Leo's entertainment? Just to have, you know...
Yeah, he would do magic tricks.
Yeah, do a trick, Blaine.
Hey,
like, levitate.
Him, yeah. Show him a trick, Blaine.
Swallow that baseball bat, Blaine. And like, let's go out.
And then also Connolly. I don't know. I think maybe just
no. Connolly's salt.
Yeah. Well, by all accounts,
dude, you're at the bar with a few girls. You're like, hey, you want to see Blaine light himself on fire? Hey, Blaine, get the matches.
He's like, not again.
I've heard that Kevin Connolly, out of all the Entourage guys, is the one who is actually the most like Vince. Like, takes his boys everywhere. Very cool.
Very interesting. Shout out, E. We'll have you on any time. Okay, Louisville, Chris. Let me just begin by saying we were at the game.
They won.
I remember Luke Hancock pouring a ton of threes, mm-hmm, and them winning six games in a row and winning the national title. And so that's really where it begins and ends for me.
And his friend of the podcast, Keith Goss, has said Hancock got the tie from Jim Nance. That pretty much seals it all.
Yeah, when you have the tie, you won the title.
You won the title. All right.
Are they going to make him give the tie back?
No.
I don't think so. Yeah, he's going to hang on to the tie. Kloop. We're obviously a little biased here, but Louisville won the title.
Look, biased or not, it's just this is so ridiculous. Why, I don't understand why we're still wasting time, people's time and people's money, like retracting championships from 5 years ago. It does nothing. Like, they're going to have to take down a banner. And it's just like, I just feel like Louisville has basically become the face of all of the bullshit that surrounds college athletics. And everyone who's a fan of college athletics accepts the fact that on some level, like, there is cheating going on. I'm not, like, saying that it's okay, that everything that happened there is okay, but I'm saying that, like, from the perspective of, like, if a player's getting money, good for him. And we all, as college basketball fans, I think, and I'm sure you guys agree, like, as fans of college sports, does anyone care that these players are probably getting a little money under the table at this point? And I'd actually be surprised if they're not. So for all these punishments that Louisville gets, I just think it's a waste of everyone's time, including law enforcement, to be honest with you at this point.
So Rick said, did a few of the players partake in parties they didn't organize? Yes, they did. But that had nothing to do with extra benefit. That had nothing to do with helping their eligibility or performance in winning the championship.
Yeah. How could you disagree with that?
Those parties did not enhance our players' ability to win a national championship or go to the final four.
I think there's certainly some truth to that.
I think you could mount the argument that
that
parties
hurt their chances.
That it, in fact, detracted. Yes. So, you know, Chris, it makes you think of all the other cases in which this has happened, and which kind of, in my mind, support the theory that vacating the title is a pointless act. That you think about Fab Five, you know, like, did you even know that those were vacated?
Or Reggie Bush's Heisman
Trophy. Reggie Bush, Heisman Trophy. It just doesn't mean anything
Memphis
to me.
Memphis' Final Four is taken back. Like, from the Derrick
Rose
year.
I watched some play.
And very nearly a title.
It's just so... I mean, yeah, had they won, they would have taken away their title.
Yes.
Notre Dame's 2012 BCS run just got all their wins vacated. Like, this is... My point is more like, who is doing... Like, who... There is a committee or a body of people that are being paid to legislate wins and losses from, like, 8 years ago. What a waste of time.
Yes.
And, like, there's no repercussion for the current players. There's no real repercussions for the current program. So it'll be fascinating to see what happens with this FBI report that's coming out soon, because they're saying that there's not one team in the top 20 that isn't implicated in this. And it's a lot easier to go after one program and to make Louisville, like, the monster of the NCAA than it is to legislate and prosecute 20 teams and 20 head coaches who we all know their names.
Yeah, it's like if every top 20 team in a sport is doing something that's wrong, then maybe the rules are wrong.
Yeah, and to what I was saying before, like, okay, so there's two different issues, obviously, with the 2013 and then the player being paid this year, Brian Bone. If you're a basketball player and the way business is done is that you get paid by the school or by the shoe company to go there, then go for it by all means. And nobody has a problem with it. To me, this is just like, like I said, it's just a waste of everyone's time.
And it just all it does is, like, it doesn't take away from the kids, but it just, like, it's just sucks for them to have to, like, deal with this. The kids who won. Like, obviously, those kids don't care. They still won, but...
No, they know they won. They were there, just like we were.
I'm looking. Apparently, 12 teams have gotten their titles vacated, including Tulsa's women's golf in 1988.
Oh, who could forget God. The 88 Tulsa
Syracuse Lacs in 90.
Golf scandal.
UCLA softball in 95.
Yeah, that was a salty group of individuals, Chris. I think we all remember that crew.
Yeah, this is like, I don't know, it's disappointing, and overall, it's like college basketball. At the end of the day, who suffers is the college basketball fan. The college basketball fan and the college basketball product suffers because Rick Pitino is not the coach of Louisville.
For
anymore.
Sure. Or whether the you coach like of anyone.
No matter how you feel about him. Like, the product on the court suffers.
Yeah,
and
Louisville played Duke last night. They lost by about 100.
Yeah, and they're not going to make the tournament this year. And yeah. So this whole thing to me is just, I really wonder where it's going, because at a certain point, like, they're going to find out that every single program is quote-unquote dirty.
And that should really tell you that the rules are wrong.
And yeah, exactly. So I don't know how they handle it going forward.
Chris, if the school refused to take down the banner,
they should, by the way.
Would law enforcement enter the gym and remove it?
I always wondered with Reggie Bush. Because
some of these teams I was just reading, like, they still have their trophies up.
Like, if I was Reggie Bush, I'd be like, yeah, come get my Heisman, man.
Oh, no, the 1990 Syracuse Lacs banner still hangs in the carrier now.
Mad respect to that program, though.
Yeah, that banner wasn't coming down over no. their dead bodies.
I mean, those kids keep taking it down, they keep putting it back
for
up.
For what it's worth, that was a dominant squad.
They guarded that thing with long stick, midi sticks. Is that what you call them? Move on to the pace of play here, Zach. Speed things up.
Sure. I think that the only new rule change is that they're limiting mound visits.
And that will do what? Wow, this is a really underwhelming segue here.
There will
Chris,
be less mound. Well, there are some ideas that came out today that we could chop.
Well, yeah, that's more what I wanted
okay,
to
say. Okay, yeah, but there's mound visits, and then if
because the mound visits thing, we could only do so much.
What's happening is if the games were 3 hours and 5 minutes on average last year. And I
have 3 minutes. I 3 hours, 8 minutes.
No, you're wrong. You're wrong.
You're barking up the wrong
305
tree.
I'm just saying I'm looking at 3 and 8.
No. And I'm saying I'm positive it's 305. Anyway.
Let's call it 3 and 6. Okay, here we go.
So the way that Manfred made the proposal is that if it doesn't get under a certain, I think it's 255, then next year there will be a pitch clock and other enforcements.
Okay. Riddle me this. Why in the same ironclad stat consortium I'm looking
it's
at.
It's not the Sports Bureau.
The 3 hours, 8 minutes. That's up from 246 in 05. Why were the games faster then?
There's a lot, like...
More pitching changes?
Yeah, more pitching changes, like the more commercials. It's just, yeah, and they're just trying to speed it up. I mean...
Are the players pushing back?
The players...
Baseball players are lunatics in the way that they are creatures of habit.
Yeah, there's just no reason for them to want it. It's just another thing.
Why would they want it?
Yeah. So, yeah. But Rich Eisen yesterday, said that an MLB exec said that they're kicking around the idea of if you're losing in the bottom of the ninth, you get to set your order Thoughts.
Love.
You like it.
How could you not, Clue?
It's interesting. When I wonder, Zach, I'm going to ask you this.
I don't think it's ever going to happen.
Zach, all of these
That would be awesome.
Is anyone not watching baseball because of the mound visits? Like, I just wonder sometimes.
No, it's not
if,
that.
Like,
they're not, these is, rule changes are not for the people that already watch. It's for trying to get more people to watch and trying to kill the, you know.
So is the person that's starting to watch baseball going to watch a 2 hour and 45 minute game and not a 3 hour and 16 minute game?
That's what they hope.
Good point. Good point.
Baseball just has a stigma that it's slow, and I mean, the people that love it love it, but they're trying to figure out ways to connect with kids.
Rob, Mr. Manfred, that is, Chris.
Wow.
Seems like he's trying to be progressive in a lot of ways, right?
Well, I think him and Adam Silver as well are trying to be, because look, it's
not rad.
I think like any industry,
Goodell is just fine with the way things are.
Any industry needs to just continue to adapt and try to stay ahead of the trends because sort of in a way, like we are seeing with the NFL, like if you just stay still, you can be super popular for a long time. But change, I think, is necessary, especially for Major League Baseball and for the NBA. So it's smart of these guys to try to get out ahead of these issues before they become big problems.
Yeah, just the perception of speeding them up, I think, is a win for them, right? Yeah.
And also, baseball's been doing really well. Like, people are excited for baseball this, like, coming up.
They should be.
More than they should be in the past. Baseball's in a really good spot.
Yeah.
Huge Yankees Red Sox rivalry that's coming back. Yep. All the big market teams are good.
So many young stars.
Young electric players.
I'm actually kind of fired up for baseball.
I do wonder, Zach, with reordering the lineup, like, can you explain what the downside would be for that? What would be the counter?
The counter argument is that baseball
is massive
baseball.
Rule change.
Yeah, it's a huge rule change, and it's just a huge change to the game in general. You're giving the home team the advantage, but the argument for it is that baseball is the only sport where you don't get to see the best guys at the end of the game. Like basketball, LeBron has the ball at the end of the game. Football, like the quarterback obviously has it. Baseball, you're getting whatever guys are up.
It is so drastic, but to me, I can't imagine an argument against it.
Well, if you're thinking about it,
it's so much more exciting.
Like logically speaking, if you get to pick the pitcher, you know what I'm saying?
Yes,
like you're bringing in your closer,
yes.
So you're changing your pitcher. I sort of like it, man. I mean, it would be...
Also... People are saying that if you were a closer, you'd be pissed off, but I think you can make the argument that it would make relief pitchers even more important, because now you're even in a bigger spot, and you'd end up getting
much
more money.
Important. Yeah. It's like, oh, Aroldis, here's Mike Trout.
Yeah, but maybe it's Aroldis, and then I also need, you know, somebody else.
Yeah.
So.
This I'm very in favor of.
You get out Stanton and Judge in the eighth, and then you got to get him out again in the ninth.
Okay, from an idea in one sport that I love... upon hearing about it, to another I think I love, and that's in the NBA, Chris, and chatter of Adam Silver speculating about a play-in game in the playoffs.
Really like this, too.
For the last two seeds. What do you think of this? This is another thing I think that the MLB has shown is a really cool thing.
Me?
Kloop.
No, Zach. Zach, because I don't really know. I haven't read.
No,
haven't
it's just like this. The 8
very
seed
simple,
and the 9 seed, the East would play to be the 8 seed, and the 8 seed and 9 seed West would be the 8
It'd be
eight
a one-and-done game?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, yeah, sure. I mean,
this is just like, one Zach Lowe report, little behind-the-scenes momentum being reported.
Like, why the 8 seed, whoever the 7th, the 6th, 7th, and the 8th seed are in the NBA playoffs do not matter, so you might as well have one game that's exciting.
Yeah, you're right about
one
that.
One awesome
like,
game.
Dude, like, the 8th seed's going to get swept, so you might as well have one game that's exciting.
And it could very well end up in New York at some point also, which is quite
That'd be
nice.
Big for the Knicks. One more spot in the East.
Wow, what a joy for Knicks fans everywhere.
But then you have 18 of 30 teams making the playoffs.
Well, there's also some discussion about moving it, and this is exactly what I said last week on the pod. So I'm not saying that he heard it, but it's possible that our pod got all the way to the key players at NBA.
I wouldn't be surprised.
They just talked about reordering the playoffs and making it a seeded 1 through 16, which LeBron pushed back on. And Zach, I will say, LeBron pushing back on that, does it make you feel like he wants to stay with the Cavs? Because why else would you push back on it? If you're in the West, the reseeding of the teams is a good thing for the teams in the West.
A very good thing.
A very good thing. But if you're in the East, you want it the way it is so that you can get to the finals. This is kind of what we talked about last week. So if we're reading the tea leaves.
And that's what we do.
Yeah, I just think that he, I mean, I read what he said. I just think he was kind of asked about it. And, like, I don't think he's necessarily pushing back. But, yeah, you could have a point. Some of the match.
Hello, Kloop. Getting a you point on the board.
A point.
Wait, some of the matchups that would be good.
For a playing game?
The Rockets are overall number one right now?
Yeah, the Rockets have a better record.
It would be Rockets, Heat. No, this is if the conferences got changed.
Oh, if the conference.
Warriors, Pelicans, Raptors, Sixers, Celtics, Blazers, Cavs, Nuggets, Spurs, Thunder, T-Wolves, Bucks, Wizards, Pacers. I love that.
I absolutely love that. I think it's such a layup for the NBA to put that in. I mean, I don't see...
Then the Rockets won. They play like the Wizards in the second round.
The idea of these new rivalries, like, and also a lot of the reason that these things are organized where they are is because of travel. You know what I mean? And there's just no logic to it anymore. Like, it's easy for these teams to deal with the travel of going coast to coast or whatever it is.
I mean, the conferences are constantly misweighted. Are they, Chris, is it as lopsided as you can remember as a basketball fan?
Well, they were saying that the one thing that wouldn't change is it would still be the eight teams from the East against the eight teams from the West. So it would be the same amount of teams from each conference would make it. But it just would be different in that you would be reseeded according to wins and losses instead of winning, like instead of where you are inside your
conference. I also saw that it would right now it would be nine from the West, seven from the East, but I guess... That's not how it would be.
I don't think that's how it would work. But hey, you know, we're speculating here. Look, there's not a lot going on, okay, fellas?
Yeah, so, this is new information. And by new information, I mean old information we're just learning about.
We're breaking news, okay, in real time. So,
do you have any other news to break before we move on to the Leo draft?
Well, in executive time, I have some news.
You have executive time. That's right.
I have executive time.
As is your right as co-host of this show.
And do we want to talk NCAA tournament or do we want to just
tease you have
it? Do we want to wait?
Well, we're going to have plenty of time to talk NCAA tournament.
I agree.
Every team sucks.
I'll ask. Okay, that's puts
I asked Zach
by Zach.
What his take was. That he's like, let's talk tourney. I'm like, what's the topic? He goes, my take is all teams suck. I'm like, well, that's going to be...
Well, I got other stuff, but it's going to be for next week.
Yeah, for next week. We'll save it. I mean, we'll talk next week.
Are you looking at any national title contender future bets?
I mean, are we doing this next week? This week?
I'm just asking you if you're looking at any.
Yeah,
I'm not asking you what they are.
Let's just say I wouldn't count the Wildcats from Kentucky out.
Is there a 40-1 out there that people are going
to
want
to
hear about?
They're 40-1.
Well, we just gave one away. More next week on In the Loop. Kloop, executive time. This is a story just tailor-made for you.
Why is it tailor-made?
Because the maturity level is a zero. Let's get into it. All right, here we go.
Is this about the plane?
Yeah, this is about the plane.
So dumb.
Chris, we went through it at the top of the show. Chris on an airplane, and we are nearing the end of the show. We're back with Chris on an airplane. And I guess you should just take us through it.
You could almost say we're taking off and now we're landing. That was tough, huh? Okay.
Come on. Jesus. All right. Okay. Continue.
All right. That was a little play on words, fellas. It didn't land, so to speak.
Just tell your story, dude.
Just tell your story.
So an international flight had to make an emergency landing in Vienna due to one passenger who wouldn't stop farting. I'm going to read you a quote from the story. The reason for the escalation...
This is from The Onion,
by That's the technical term, by
No,
way.
It's not. The reason for the escalation...
Is this from The Onion?
No.
Are you sure?
I'm 100% sure.
Continue.
All right, I can continue now.
What's the source?
You can continue.
The source is anywhere on the internet, Zach.
Okay. Yeah,
go on.
The reason for the escalation wasn't merely a breach of airline protocol. Apparently, two men owned up to the fact that a fellow passenger was audibly and repetitively farting and refused to stop when asked. The passenger was reportedly suffering from wind, however made no attempt to suffocate, smuggle, or muffle the sound, disturbing those in close proximity. There was no escaping the relentless onslaught, which caused two men to take matters into their own hands. So I have a question coming out of this. At what point is it appropriate to say something to a passenger about the farting?
I wouldn't under any circumstances.
Yeah, just by my and I know Zach's nature, we would not confront someone under any circumstance. It would have to be. It would have to be nuclear.
Somebody would have to have like a gun.
It would say something. But if it were that bad, someone else would almost certainly say something before me.
And it sounds like it was loud. Which I mean, we can all acknowledge you can usually control the volume.
Yeah.
You know, and the guy just going after it repeatedly, time after time. You know, something had to be said and something was done.
I mean, Larry David got so upset with a passenger on an episode of Curb just because he was wearing shorts and he didn't want to see his legs. Is that a complaint that you find legitimate?
That's not legitimate at all.
But Larry doesn't like it.
And then how about you? Somebody acknowledges it and you just continue to go after it.
Yeah,
time
that's
and
brazen.
Again.
That's brazen.
It's all very brazen.
Do you think, like, what do you get a talking to from the stewardess on your way off? Like, sir, you're not in any trouble, but what you did on this flight
what you did
was
inappropriate.
Horrifying.
But, dude, he inconvenienced everyone because they had to make an emergency landing because it started a brawl on the airplane. So, I mean, the guy's got a lot to answer.
I'd be more mad at the person who started the brawl. I'd be like, let this guy rip and let's get to JFK.
You're sure this isn't your personal story of your flight to Dallas?
Yeah, oh, I'm sure about that.
Okay. That's all you have?
That's all
I
have.
That was executive time well spent.
I don't know what else to say about airline protocol. I don't take off the shoes. Do you guys take off the shoes?
When they make me. Yeah, I don't defy TSA.
No, I'm talking about on the plane.
Oh, yeah, I'll lose the kicks every now and again.
Oh, I take my shoes off. Yeah,
100%? Like, no matter what?
No, not no matter what.
Just if I want to.
Yeah, just if I'm feeling kind of uncomfy in my shoes.
Does the length of the flight make a difference for taking off your shoes?
No, I usually take them off.
I know. It's a feeling.
Sometimes I wear flip-flops on the plane, too, so then they're just off and I'm
see,
barefoot.
That's... I don't know about that, Zach. I could see someone having a problem with
your
bare feet.
It could be
all
way worse than sitting next
have
to me
ever,
with bare feet, okay?
Have
I
you
keep
ever,
to myself. I don't bother anyone.
Have you ever just brought like a huge bag of Mickey D's onto a flight or anything like that?
Chipotle.
Or just like an aggressive meal. That is really towing the line.
Opening up a burrito bowl
yeah,
on a plane
exactly.
would be an all-time
meal. I can't say...
Oh, hey, buddy, you got a little guac on the shoulder there.
I'll just take that right off.
Hey, no worries. That's extra.
All right. From plane etiquette to Leo DiCaprio movies, drafting based on what order?
I'll go third.
You'll go. Okay, I'll go first. Chris, second.
Looks like I got second.
All right, drafting Leo movies. Zach, we recently found out, just as a prelude here, that Tom Hardy has a tattoo on his arm.
Leo
that,
knows all.
That reads Leo knows all. That's
what?
That is the result of a bet they had.
Yeah.
That Hardy would get nominated for Best Supporting Actor for The Revenant, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a huge tattoo on his arm.
It's
anyways.
Very big.
So, Leo knows all. Number one pick.
I've never seen The Titanic, by the way.
That's absolutely ridiculous.
I thank you for admitting that here live on the pod.
I got nothing to hide, bro.
So, with the first pick, I think I have to go with The Departed.
Wow.
In no small part because friend of the pod, Connor Donovan, is also in it.
I'm really glad you picked it. I know what Chris is going to take.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
Clue, put the number two pick.
Inception.
You don't have no idea what happens in
I didn't
Inception.
Think you were going to pick that, but that was going to be one of my picks. That's a good pick, Chris.
It's a loop on the turn.
Inception.
That's one
but
of my
the
favorite.
The Departed isn't a good pick, and Inception's a good pick.
Inception's...
You like The Departed more than Inception.
Not true. Inception's one of my top 10 favorite movies of all time.
Yeah, Inception.
Departed's probably my top 20.
Inception's better than The Departed.
Why would I lie?
It's not.
It's a better film.
Not.
It's a better film.
So you're
Mike
saying
Gaston,
I'm lying?
You guys
Mike
are.
Gaston is
I don't
electric.
Like that I'm being ganged up on right now.
We'll take it to
the Twitter poll.
No, we can. We'll ask. You know what? Fuck you.
Focus on your picks.
Oh, I have my picks. Wolf of Wall Street and Catch Me If You Can. Kaboom.
God, really good picks. Really good picks.
Yeah. I won.
Well,
two of his more fun films.
Yeah, you know? I like fun. I'm a fun guy.
Yeah, good picks.
He is a fun guy.
All right, Clue.
It's you, Alex.
No, it's,
no,
it's you
Clue.
On the turn.
Clue. Oh, nice. I'll take Blood Diamond.
Very good pick.
Wow, very good pick.
So far, there's only been one bad
pick. He should have won a statue for that. He was tremendous.
Awesome in that movie.
Yeah.
God, we're kind of running out. I'm going to be screwed.
Oh, man, this is tough. All right.
I'm nervous for you, dude.
After your first pick.
Yeah, The Departed. I barely remembered he was in that.
Both of you, shut up. Revenant was not good.
No.
Revenant was awful.
I've only seen it
like,
once.
Like, it's on my board. I'm looking at it. I'm like, I hated that movie.
Revenant
I don't know why it's on my board.
It's unwatchable.
It's unwatchable. I can't believe it's the only movie he's won an Oscar.
Alex is going to go with Critters 3 and
okay.
Poison Ivy.
I'm going to... I'm taking Titanic, which I love. Clip, you know that.
That's good. Cause I can
Jack Dawson.
And...
I know what this is. I'm so mad.
And I'm going a little film... from the early 2000s called Body of Lies.
Oh, that's good. That wasn't what I was thinking.
A little outside the box choice with another actor named Russell.
I have such a good one. I'm so worried Clip's going to take it.
I will take the man in the
Fuck!
Iron Mask.
Fuck! That was the loudest you've ever gotten on the podcast.
Yeah, Man in the Iron Mask.
That was not even on my board.
It's incredible.
I might watch that movie tonight.
Dude, he plays the twins, the good guy and
dude,
the bad guy.
You don't
guy.
Have to tell me. It, somehow the three musketeers are involved.
D'Artagnan, big shout out. What's up?
Who else is in that movie?
I almost had the perfect...
Jeremy Irons is in it as one of the three musketeers. It's awesome.
It's so good. Great pick.
Looks like Clip won.
Steal of the draft.
I almost had the perfect draft.
Zach, finishing off in sheer...
Dude, that's
despair.
Such a good pick. Oh man, it kills me.
Man and
Oh, Shutter Island, I love. Boom.
No, you don't.
Yeah,
that
dude.
Movie's
that
bad.
Movie's dark.
No, Shutter
dark,
Island's good.
Dark way to end it.
Wow.
Shutter Island.
I won still.
The whole movie was like a dream or something. Sick.
Alex, you picked The Departed. You picked The
yes,
Departed.
Sweetheart.
Number one.
Alex gets The Departed, Titanic, Body of Lies.
You lost by far.
Clue, Inception, Blood Diamond, Man and Iron. I think we have to give the crown to Clue.
That's
Zach
bullshit.
Wolf, Catch Me If You Can, Shutter Island.
Yeah, give me the gold medal, bitches.
Let's watch. Zach, you want to watch Man of
yeah.
Iron Mask? Let's
yeah.
fire it up.
I'm so jealous. God damn it.
All right, see you, Clue.
See you tomorrow, boys.
All right.